Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tortoise. Hey there, I'm Mel Gedroych, aka Mel G, and welcome to my electric adventure. It's about life, laughter, snacks, and driving. With my co-driver, let's not forget him, Giles Whittell, aka the G-Dubs. So what we do is he comes here with an EV, that's an electric car, then we head out, we have a boffin in the back, basically fount of all knowledge, and we meet some amazing fellow electric vehicle drivers along the way. Right, we've got two more cars to try out this season before our finale, ta-da, when we're going to see the carcass, if you will, of a classic car that my husband, my life partner, wants to electrify. Back to now, let's see what G-Dubs has got for me this time. Always a treat. Oh, MG. It's an MG gang, my very own initials. Oh, hello. I don't think G-Dubs meant to do that. Yeah, sorry, guys. We're having a big swim in Lake Mead this morning. It's MG, a.k.a. Mel Gedroych. Look at that beauty. Hey, Sam.
Hey, morning. Good.
G-Dubs.
How are you? That hadn't occurred to me about the initials. I thought it was because you and me both remembered the days when MG was a thing.
But also, you and me, MG, Mel and Giles.
Oh.
Come on, guys.
Serendipity on four wheels.
And I've got a phrase. Sorry, Mel, no. That might resonate with our car-y listeners. Hot hatch.
Hot hatch?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Well, it's not what we used to call a saloon.
Yeah.
It's not what we used to call an estate.
Right.
It's right between the two with a kind of pert bottom.
Oh, it's got the little sort of duck's arse at the back. The little kind of tintin. A quiff at the back.
It is an MG4 electric. And if you open this pert bottom...
That looks like it could take some family luggage up to the lakes with no problem.
Ah, it's very sensible of you. Yeah.
Sorry, that was a bit boring, wasn't it? A good weekly supermarket shop.
I'm excited about this one.
As it were. Are you?
I am.
Why?
Because this car at the moment is the best-selling EV on the market, and largely because it's the most affordable. And I think, in terms of value for money, I think it's the best one out there.
It looks safe. It doesn't look to me like a car that we're going to be launch controlling in. Should we get in?
We're getting in.
Right, now, for the first time, I think... we've got an old school way, a sort of lever under the chair of moving the seat forward.
Yes.
It's not one of those gzzzdg kind of Star Trek doors.
Even in your driver's seat now?
Yeah, in my driver's seat. I like that.
Yeah.
You know me, I like a little bit of manual labour / old school. We're in a car rather than a sewing machine.
Mel has just leant forward with her left hand. And rocked backwards and forwards. And not rocked, actually, slid.
Slid?
Yeah. Has
yours got the same?
Yeah. Should we have a little go?
Let's have a go together.
Right, have we? Here we go. One.
Whee! Woo! Quite fun.
Yeah, there we go. You feel those calves working a little bit?
There we go. I like this. Feels kind of roomy up front, doesn't it? I'm liking the fact that it does feel nice. Sorry, I just found a secret drawer.
What would you like to put in there?
Well, if we were DIs, G-Dubs, we'd have a secret load of police stuff in there. notebooks.
Notebooks.
If we were corrupt DIs, we might have some naughty substances in there.
Yeah, to trade.
To trade.
Yeah. We're off.
But I like the fact that this central, what do you call this central area between passenger and driver? It's a sort of no man's land between passenger and driver.
What is it the console?
I think that's the console,
that's the
isn't
console,
it?
Isn't it?
Console's up ahead, sort of up on the dashboard, I think.
I'd always refer to the centre part as a centre console, yeah, but whatever you want, Mel. There's not really one in this, you're right. A lot of electric cars, there's almost a lot more room in between, so...
Hey, Mel, where are we going?
I don't know. Are we going to Heston?
No, that's good. Are we going to Heston?
Are we? I'm like a homing pigeon. All I can do is go to either Heston or...
All right, Heston it is. I'm going to stick it in my thing.
I'm feeling in a kind of Heston mood.
I'm feeling that you don't even need a sat-nav.
Well, let's see how we go.
Okay.
This is good. This suits me.
Perfect.
It's a little bit stripped back, and I'm liking the fact that there's no sat-nav. I'm liking that, actually.
Okay, good.
I think one can get too spoilt and therefore lazy and then complacent and then accidents happen.
Well, let's talk about the revolution in the MG... What is it again, Sam? Four?
MG4, yes.
MG4. Because price.
Yeah.
Tell us about price.
Yeah, you said, you hinted, Sam...
Yes.
That this might be a bit more affordable, this car, which I'm loving the drive of, by the way.
It is. So it's the most affordable EV on the market at the moment, I would say. And it's coming in at a starting price, this model, the long-range model, which is the mid-range one, at about £28,500 to buy outright. Woo-hoo. Which is still, obviously, of course, a lot of money, but compared to a lot of the other options on the market, certainly the least. Obviously, Octopus electric vehicles, we have salary sacrifice, so on a monthly basis, a lot of customers can get a car like this for under £300 a month, depending on salary, etc. Would you go for an MG, Giles? The MG4, as your ride?
Yeah, I could just about afford it. This £300 is what I've been paying for insurance alone on two bangers.
You're kidding!
Real bangers, yeah, because of those points on my licence that you discovered.
Oh, darn it, because we pay real low on our insurance, I think.
Because we're such good drivers.
No, because the cars are so crud.
Oh.
Is that right?
Well, our cars are crud.
Your cars are crud, but you've got loads of points. But Ben's got loads of points. But then I don't have any points.
We're at risk of getting you into trouble and into prison like this, actually. Turns out that all your insurance is in your name and...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
let's just... I don't think it is. It isn't. No, it absolutely isn't.
Okay.
Milad. Can I just say another thing I'm liking in this MG, and pretty much so far I've liked everything about this MG. It's got a nice, loud TikTok. Isn't that?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? I hate little sort of... Oh, hang on.
I'll be honest, I found it a bit tinny compared with the TikTok on the Volvo. Do you remember that? That was a very, very solid, like...
That was solid.
Swedish grandfather.
That was. But this, I don't know, I find it reassuring. I think I'm going slightly deaf, and I don't like it when I can't hear the TikTok. That's really nice, that. Lovely.
And what do you think of the steering wheel? What's unusual about the steering wheel?
So the steering wheel, rather than being a circle, is a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hexagon.
Yeah.
Hexagonal steering wheel. I'm loving that. And that's because the MG insignia is also inside a hexagon.
Oh,
and
okay.
I think that's probably a little... Am I right, Sam?
Quite right. It also gives a slightly sportier feel.
I'm feeling well sporty.
This route that I've got...
Much longer.
Gets you onto the... back on the M4 quite quickly. It has us at Heston in 12 minutes.
From here?
Yeah.
Boom. Right, I tell you what, this has got a lot of poke in it, this car. I felt myself slightly accelerating towards a zebra crossing, which is never good. So I'm just going to just calm down.
50 yards,
oh no.
What are we doing here?
You just do what you want to do because this is going to confuse us.
Oh, I hope I'm right.
Have you thought about where you charge an electric car, Mel, if you had one?
What do you mean? I charge electricity.
No, would you charge at home? Would you be able to?
Now. Listen. This whole home charge thing... Listen. I know we talked about it back in episode 1, didn't we, G? I think we did.
It's a blur, but yeah, I'll take your word for it.
I wasn't really listening. I was so trying not to crash that Audi, that 150 grand Audi. And I know that I was going, and, you know, doing what you should do when you're chatting to people for this kind of thing. You've got to obviously listen. I wasn't. So I still don't quite get the whole home charge thing. We don't have off-street parking.
Right.
Do you have you got off-street parking, John?
No. So the question is,
how do you home charge?
Good question. So for people like yourselves, and obviously a lot of people in London, it's not possible to home charge. People used to run cables across the pavement and stuff, which of course you can do, but if something was to happen, then it would be your fault.
Yeah.
What if someone trips up?
Exactly. So for people who don't have a driveway, it is more difficult. Of course, in London, there's a lot of lamppost chargers which people can use.
And how does that work? Is it just first come, first serve?
Exactly that, Giles, yeah. And also, a lot of the time, people who don't have electric cars park in those spaces, which isn't entirely helpful either.
Yeah. And how do you pay for those? If you use a lamppost charge?
So it's very straightforward. They'll have the network provider on the lamppost, and you can download an app and pay for it through that.
Okay, and you have to do that every time?
Yes, but it's very straightforward.
Okay, so here's the thing. Ben, who we will hear a lot more of in episode 10, because we're going to go and see him with his classic car electrification project, which he's doing in Essex.
Okay.
Ben's plan for off-street parking, and he's so serious about this, we were talking about it the other night. I thought he'd gone mad, but anyway, listen to this. We erect in our back garden a pole, and then we have, he was talking about some sort of gantry.
I was thinking about something very similar.
You're joking. That sounds hideous. It's going to make the garden look awful. So it's a pole, a metal pole. And then what do you do with it? You get some sort of fishing rod type thing. And then you get the electricity coming from where? I don't get it. What is it?
From above. Isn't that in...
We're going M4, guys.
Yeah.
Not going
so
A4.
Left two lanes.
Oh, so I'm on that. Okay.
A bit like an F1 pit stop when they bring the airlines and the fuel lines in from above, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
They're like those things you get in certain sinks where you pull the tap on a big metal coil to where you're hosing off your plate or whatever.
Yeah.
Heston. Yes. Who are we going to meet? Who knows? Love a bit of Heston.
Heston, Yeston.
Love it, G-dubs. So,
I've got one nerd question about home charging. If you do have a home charger, does that get more power than your 230 volt main supply?
Yes, definitely. So the home charger is always typical is 7 kilowatts to charge at home. That you'd be looking at to fully charge with really very easy calculation is battery size divided by the number of kilowatts of the charger. So if you've got, for example, a 50 kilowatt battery, you're dividing that by a 7 kilowatt charger, it's going to take about 7 hours, for example, to fully charge the car. If you're charging with the home mains through a 3-pin plug, it could take, I've seen it take up to 18 hours before. It very much depends on your supply, but if you've got a home charger, I would always recommend using that.
And that'll charge you up 7 kilowatts overnight.
It may not give you a full charge overnight. It depends how many hours you're going to charge for, or if you're only willing, for example, to charge between the cheapest hours of, say, 12:30 and 4:30.
To the right. Grid serve coming up.
But within a four-hour window, you should get a very good, healthy top-up, yes.
Can I just say one thing? So, hang on, let's go with Lecky. We don't want to go petrol. Oh, is he going? Where's he going?
No, he's just plugged in.
He's smoking!
No, he's not. He's got a biro in his mouth.
It's an e-cigarette. Okay. He does everything electric, I think.
Oh, is it an e-cigarette? Yeah. Good lad. Oh, good lad. Is that okay? We're making a podcast in favour of the electric revolution. But your views can be... any views that you have, all gratefully received. It's lovely to meet.
Well, I've got mixed feelings about this one.
Why mixed feelings?
Because as you see, I'm waiting and charging. Everything is fine when the chargers are fast and available.
Yeah.
But it happened not so lately. So the problem is the bottleneck is charging. There's no infrastructure. There's absolutely, in some part of day, you can't find the charger. Anyway, central London is rubbish. Nothing there, completely nothing. They've done some charges in a park lane, in a garage, it's about 40 of them, or 45, hardly people using it.
Oh, in Park Lane?
Yes.
Right in the centre of Fancy Pants London?
Yes, in the car park.
Why is nobody using them? Because they don't know they're there.
Because they're charging £9 per hour.
Oi. Oh,
I see. How much are they charging you here?
They're charging just for car park, plus charge. Yeah. So that's why people are not going there. It's pointless. So, and maximum you can stay 1 hour. So it means you need to add extra £9 to the cost of charging.
That's in Park Lane.
It's in Park Lane, in the queue park. I mean, all the queue parks which are installed, the chargers, they're charging for car park as well.
Mm. And what about here?
Here it's free to charge. I mean, it's free to park up to 2 hours, and you can charge at the same time, okay? But half of them not working.
Mm. What are you looking at, 40 minutes for a full charge here?
This car, fully charged, it takes about 1 hour, 20 minutes. But if you would like to charge in this fast charger, kind of 20 minutes, it will give you about 100 miles.
Mm. We should say this is a big Mercedes van, right?
This is the big Mercedes van, the 100 kV battery. It's a lot. Mm. It's a lot. Charge this car, it really takes time.
What do you do with your hour 20? So you're here, you're waiting to charge up. What do you do?
I'm just having a good rest.
Nice. Do you flip the seat back and shut the eyes?
Eventually.
Nice.
Yes, and have some snacks and stuff.
What do your passengers say when they realise it's an electric van? You put your foot down on the M4 and they feel the smooth power.
They say, well, this is electric. No, first they ask if it's the hybrid. It's not. They don't do hybrid Mercedes. They do only electric, all electric. So, well, okay, good. Of course, you may have guys which are kind of, they have gasoline in the veins rather than blood, and they said, "Oh, it's rubbish. You know, I need to hear the sound of the engine.
Smell. Yes, smell it, yeah.
I need to feel it." So say, "No, it's not for me. It's too smooth. It's too quiet. It's okay." And there as well, there are some eco-freaks, like, "Oh, fantastic, I love it, I can even wait for you, instead of taking diesel car, I will wait for the electric car available and then I'll drive me to the airport or whatever." That's fine. I mean, both of them, they know that it's coming.
Yeah, so it is coming. It's an inevitability.
Nothing we can do. Nothing we can do about it. You just do it as good as possible. Just not to put drivers in the situation that I hate it.
Yeah.
It'll keep getting better. Yeah. It already is.
Sam's very positive. We all are.
That's the only one left.
Yeah.
To be positive.
Yeah.
Because it's coming anyway.
Hello, I'm John Curtis.
And I'm Rachel Wolfe. This week on Trendy, the monarchy. A year after the coronation, and as King Charles returns to work, what do we think of it? And how has that changed over time?
To listen to the episode, search for Trendy on Tortoise News wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.
So, Mel?
Yes.
After that lovely chat with
Zbigniew. Zibby, for short.
Should we get back in the Miggy for long?
Yeah.
Are we ready for simultaneous reveal?
Yeah, go on.
Okay,
one, two, three. Oh.
Raw kale cracker snacks. Okay.
Those look terrible, those breadsticks. Oh, olive oil grissini, that's better.
Yeah, not too bad.
Hang on, are they stale?
I don't think so.
How long have they been in the cupboard? They're open.
They're definitely open, and they're going to make a mess. And we did have a half-consumed tub of
hum.
Philadelphia. No, I left the hum.
Okay.
That was new. But we had, you can get Philadelphia with herbs.
I love that.
Okay, well, my wife threw it out. Otherwise, I'd have brought that and we could have, you know.
So there's no dip?
No, there's nothing. It's just a dry
stick. What, a family bag of mini eggs? Come on. I know that you like a bit of chocolate now, so I thought I'd better go for the bigger bag.
Come on, pass them forward. Sam, thank God.
You sample them first.
Thank God for you, because Mr. and Mrs. Bleak here. At home, I blooming put the whole house out when I plug in an iron. There's a certain iron, plug it in, start ironing, whole house, Eleki goes, right. So I'm just a little bit worried about charging a car at home, should I be?
No, you shouldn't be. From speaking to lots of customers, I don't know of that issue. Of course, I don't know your home setup or provider or anything like that.
And you never will, Sam.
No, I won't.
We're going to keep it strict.
That's not my area, but...
I'm going to ask.
I know a huge number of my colleagues and friends who all charge 7 kilowatts and don't have any problems at home. I've never once heard of that being an issue for them.
Really?
Yes, really. And most of my friends charge overnight, then drive into work the next day. It's very easy. And they charge between, as I said, a few hour window of 12:30 and 4:30 when energy is obviously its least demand, cheapest, etc.
Yeah, that's clever.
So then...
I'm never up at that time, though.
No, but you can also set a lot of your appliances to work between that time. For example, your washing machine or your dishwasher.
Can you do it once a week?
Exactly.
And that's what we have to remember, is that for every whinger, to use a technical term,
yeah,
who we might encounter at Chargington,
yeah,
that there are many... smug, to use a technical term,
yeah,
EV owners who have off-street parking, who have a short commute, who have a range that vastly exceeds their daily usage, and so charging is never even an issue.
Yeah. For me, I put the slow cooker on, guys, a lot of an evening before I go to bed. Wake up the next morning, you've got your evening meal. Call me sad, call me middle-aged, that's how I roll. So in a similar way, this is like a sort of slow cooker for me. I would put the power on to the EV and wake up in the morning and it's all charged.
Exactly that. I can't say I've ever used a slow cooker.
Oh, they're great, Sam.
Sounds perfect.
But that means you've got your evening meal in the morning.
That's okay. What's wrong with that?
So it just sits there all day?
Yeah, or you can put it in. You can put it somewhere cool.
So here we go for today's on-ramp speed trial.
It's that voice of
in
calm.
The MG, what is it again? 40?
Four.
MG4 long range.
Here's the line, and there we go.
Oh, God. Oh, it's like being on the runway at Gatwick.
More enjoyable acceleration there, wasn't it, Mel, than perhaps some of them?
Yeah, actually. I didn't scream.
No.
Maybe I'm just getting used to the whole thing.
Maybe.
Sam's got a piece of paper telling us what our top speed is, which is 98. We can almost get there.
99,
oops.
Yeah.
Actually, no, we are temporarily limited to 60. Report of obstruction.
98 is the top speed.
99, yeah.
99. And you said, Sam, very kindly, that you were going to pull out some figures to compare the MG4 to the VW ID3.
I have, exactly. So the two models that you've driven. So as I said, the base price of this one is around 28.5 for the MG4 long range.
Which is a lot of money, we know, but compared to some that we've driven,
yes,
it's pretty good val, isn't it?
Exactly, particularly when compared with the ID3, which is still considered as, I suppose, an entry-level, more affordable EV option. That comes in at around 36, so it's quite a lot less, really, for quite a similar car. On a real-world range on the MG4, you're looking at real-world, as I say, 225.
Okay.
In the summer, I have heard of people achieving up to 280, but of course, the weather and other factors depend on that.
Is that the best range we've had so far in the series?
No. The best range we had was probably the Tesla Model Y that you had.
The farting one.
Yes, exactly. Yep. But Tesla is still, in terms of range and stuff, pretty much at the forefront.
Is it?
Yeah.
That surprises me, because that was a big old hog of a machine, that, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, but they think quite carefully about range. Plus, the fart comes off the 12 volt.
Oh, hello, Tiger. He slips in at
so
the last minute.
This is an A4 TFSI.
Right, he knows it's a race.
He does.
He knows it's a race.
Go level with him, Giles.
Yeah, go level. We're way behind
No, but psychologically, you don't want to let him know it's a race.
He knows it's a race.
Plus, he's got Hi-Vis vest on and I haven't. But I have got G-Dub's hat on.
Hang on, we're going into a one-lane
scenario.
Yeah, so
I've got to get there first.
Oh, no, I'm scared. He's going to get there first.
He knows it's a race.
Sorry.
He's avoiding all eye contact.
He's going.
He's off. Oh, he's got it. Oh, he's got, not by much, though.
Oh, you little pesk.
I could undertake him. Oh, he's undertaking that. He's just a cheat. The only reason we didn't have him off the line, the second time of asking, was for the safety of everyone in our car.
Thank you for that, Millard.
I see us three as a bit like the Top Gear crew.
Oh, Sam. Right, Sam, you get first dibs. Who do you want to be?
Well, Giles is James May, I think, most similarly. That's who I get reminded of, I think.
Okey-dokes. I know what's coming and it worries me.
Oh, I know. I'll let you choose the other two.
I know what's coming.
I don't have a preference. I'll let you decide.
Sam. Well, I think, Sam, you are the young, eager member of the troop. I think you've got to be Hammond.
I think so, yeah.
That leaves me with frickin' Clarko.
It does.
I don't want to be Clarko.
But you are the one who speaks up for oil and smell and
grease and... Oi! You're saying I'm Jeremy Clarkson, guys?
No, you were.
God, blimey. This is a roast today.
I was just trying to offer a little bit of empirical support for your...
At least I don't wear a brogue with a pair of jeans and some awful blazer. Oh, I think this is my fave now. Sorry to V-dubs. I think this is my favourite. I'd love this car.
I understand why, because it's more like an everyday car that you can imagine, right?
It's lovely, and it's nice and wide as well. But it doesn't feel wide in the road, yeah. But inside it feels very spacious.
So I think, Mel, the time has come. As we approach the Ealing Christian Centre for your one-word review of the MGI...
MG4. OMG.
Oh, that's so good. I can't top it.
It's not a competition.
It is. It's just like Park Run.
It's not
they
a competition.
They say Park Run isn't a competition. Of course it's a competition. All right.
It's not. It's just our own little thing.
But even so.
Competitive. Yeah, I really, really like this car. Thoughts, Giles?
All I can do is try and pack in as many M's and G's. So, mega midget.
Mega midget. That's good. That is good.
Because there's a bit of both, isn't there? I mean, there's the space that you were talking about.
Yeah, totally.
And there's the perky bum and the modicum of sportiness that comes with sport mode, though if I'm very honest, not a lot. Maybe I'm spoilt, but I had a total of three ramps, one off ramp and two on ramps today.
Mm-hmm.
Contrived that for speed trials.
Yes, I didn't notice.
And in a way, the good thing about this is you can put your foot right down and you probably won't kill anyone or get arrested.
Yeah, exactly. My bottom didn't go funny on any of those ramps, and right. I have to confess it has gone funny on all the other ramps that you've done.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a boon.
Yeah, that's...
That's a ruddy boon. I don't want to be... I mean, we did sort of beat that guy in the Audi, didn't we, in terms of
Yeah, that was fun, actually. And that shows that even a modest EV... has it over a boy racer when you need to show who's who and what's what. Another thing I like, all seriousness, and I really was struck by this when I sat in it first time, is it's simple. So all the other cars that we've got into, you sit down and you just don't know where to start. The screens are huge, you don't know which screen you're on. Is that nav? Is that aircon? Is that car settings?
Yeah.
Here you just sit down. As you found, the whole thing is on for you. All you have to do is find D for drive. And even I could find it on our single knurled knob.
Yeah.
It's been very much like, for the younger listeners, a series of Love Island this series, Mel. You're all set on the ID3. Something new's come along and your head's been turned.
Oh, hang on. We haven't even talked about the most important thing about this car. It comes in loads of good colours. The bright orange, the muted green, the blue... The white.
The grey.
The grey.
Black. And as I say, we're in white at the moment, but there's so many options. The orange is certainly eye-catching, Mel. You'd have all the heads turning.
Oh, and I could wear my orange coat and maybe a little dab of orange lipstick. That would give the school mums something to chew over. Would it be a bit... It's a bit show-offy to have a bright orange car, isn't it? Isn't it? Is it a bit sad?
Depends if you can pull it off, Mel, I think. I think you could.
Do you think?
Yeah, I reckon so.
I don't know, mate. I think I might be past it.
How do you pull off an EV? Is it all about the
the way you stick your elbow out the window?
That's a terrible question, Charles. Let's not talk about pulling off EVs.
Getting used to every wrinkle of this road. I'm always really tempted to hang a left there and do a speed test.
I know! Stop it! I know loads of people on that road. They're going to... Oh! I don't know what they're going to think. Let's see if Enid's in, shall we? Give her a little wavy. Oh, lovely.
And there we are.
Oh, that's been our 8th electric adventure together.
And we are only 8 minutes behind schedule.
That's pretty cool. Number 9, can't wait. Don't know what it is. Looking forward already. It's been real. It's been great.
Park, Giles. Press the P.
What the heck? What happened there? You just kangarooed.
Push that button down.
After all this sort of smug, I know how to do this stuff.
It's so simple.
Failed to put it
actually,
in
actually, what did happen there? Neutral.
Push
okay.
the button down, Giles. That one, yeah.
Oh, well, that is not intuitive. Okay, I'll remember.
You use the big dial, the big knurly dial.
Yeah, with a big P in the middle of it. But there's a P right there.
I know, that's a bit... What is that, the little P?
It's to release the parking brake.
The handbrake.
Oh, so that's the main park and that's the handbrake. Okay. Guys, thank you. That was so fun. Thank you for joining me on my electric adventure. New episodes are released every Thursday throughout the series. If you join Tortoise as a member or subscribe to Tortoise Plus on Apple Podcasts, you get them a day early and can listen without the adverts. Thanks to Octopus Electric Vehicles for providing the cars, the expertise and the boffin in the back. Mel's Electric Adventure is a Tortoise production and the producer is Lewis Vickers. Tortoise.
Hello, I'm John Curtis.
And I'm Rachel Wolfe. This week on Trendy, the monarchy. A year after the coronation, and as King Charles returns to work, what do we think of it? And how has that changed over time?
To listen to the episode, search for Trendy on Tortoise News, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow the feed to make sure you don't miss an episode.